tight little circle here. There we go. There is no workers' comp here. I want to be real clear about that. If you get hurt. All right. That way we can pull it in nice and tight. It's not that that often that you get to go out to dinner with a self-made millionaire. And we're very fortunate that today, after today's activities, that he's alive with us. We'll reveal some of that tomorrow. That's Super Saturday. We got some good video. It'll be up on YouTube tomorrow afternoon. But we're really lucky that, you know, we have a Millionaire Club member here. Anything you guys want to ask him about is fair game. We'll ask him to just start off by sharing a little bit of the story behind the story while you're thinking of your question, so I don't throw you under the bus cold turkey. And, you know, there's some details that he can share today with us that they're not going to get tomorrow. You know, they'll get a lot of good training, but it's these social events where we get to get some of the story behind the story, some extra nuggets, pearls of wisdom that they don't get. So with that said, let's give it all up for Dr. David Hughes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm going to wear this thing. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
I can tell a millionaire what to do.
I guess I'll start off by just sharing a little bit about how I got started in the business. And how long is, just so I know, I mean, how many of you have been in the business more than a year? Raise your hand. Wow, so a lot of you. So how many have been in the business less than 6 months? Okay. Oh, thank you. Well, I am. It's 11 years now that I've been in the business, and it's amazing how fast it goes. I started my business in Fort Worth, Texas, and I was in my last year getting my doctorate in chiropractic school. So I was really busy. I was taking over 30 hours a semester between school and my school schedule and my public internship. And that's when I was introduced to prepaid legal. My brother Jeff showed me a video. I loved it. Made sense. And so me and my brothers, we all got started all about the same time and went to a business briefing. I've been to seen other businesses before, home-based businesses, but I wasn't really, none of them really grabbed my attention. And the only brother who had network marketing experience was my oldest brother, Tony. And he had tried getting us in his different deals, and we just weren't interested at all. But when I saw Prepaid Legal, I just loved the service. I mean, you know, when I was younger and I was in high school, I was in and out of jail so many times, it just made so much sense, you know. And I was just kidding. But, you know, I just fell in love with the services. I thought so many times where I've gotten ripped off or taken advantage of, where this could have helped me. And when I was able to use it, it saved me so much money and that I would have otherwise got ripped off. And so we got the service and we started building part time, it was exciting to be able to have something that we could build part time, because working a job, when you're taking 30 hours a semester in school, that doesn't really fit in my schedule very well. But with Prepaid Legal, I could really fit that into my schedule on a part-time basis, and it started to grow. And within 15 months, we were actually it was my 11th month. I was a director in the business, and let me back up. My 10th month in the business, Mr. Hall here had already qualified for executive director and on the team. And so it was, here I am in chiropractic school. I felt like I had handcuffs on because I'm seeing all this success around me. I'm seeing, you know, Mr. Hall having success. My brother Chris had hit executive director and having great success. My brother Jeff was already making over $10,000 a month, who was my sponsor. And so I felt like I just had handcuffs on. And it was frustrating. So I made a goal. I'm going to go executive director, and it didn't happen, and it didn't feel right. And I don't know if any of you have, you know, made that goal and it didn't happen, but I've been there. But I didn't really feel it. You know, I said I was going to do it, but it didn't resonate. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. And then the next month though, I saw it, I could see it, I believed it, and I knew without a doubt I was going to make an executive director. So my 11th month I was a director, and I made about $2,700 part-time going through school, taking 30 hours a semester. Not bad, right? I was happy about that. And then the next month we had qualified for bronze executive director and made $6,700 that next month. And so the income really jumped. We eventually ended up taking a little bit of time out of chiropractic school. I kept telling my dad. I remember when I told my dad first time, I was like, "Dad, I just felt like I had handcuffs on. I want to run, you know." And Jeff is having so much success, and Chris and Dave Hall. And I was just like, "I just got to go. I got to go." My dad was like, "No, son." He goes, "Don't you even think about dropping out of chiropractic school." He goes, "Those things never work. You know, you don't have any success in those things." He goes, "It'll be a waste of your time. You just put your head down and finish up school." And so I actually did take some time off from school two semesters before graduating. That doesn't happen in chiropractic school. You're already done. I mean, when you're that close, you're done. You just need to show up, and then you'll finish. And so me and my twin brother both had decided to do that. We had to meet with the dean of academics just so he could tell us what idiots we were and how we, you know, couldn't believe it. And so that's when I actually prospected the dean of academics and told him, "Hey, man, opportunity knocks. I got to go." And he told us, he said, me and my twin brother, he was like, "Well, if you leave, we'll never see you again. You know, you're not going to come back and finish." And so then we moved around a lot. Ever since I've been in prepaid legal, we started in Texas, moved up here, and worked with Mr. Hall for a while, and then ended up going down to California and worked down there for a while. And then I went back to Texas to go finish up my internship at that point. And the only reason why I did is because my brother had gone back. He finished up his internship. And then he called me up and he goes, "Hey, I just got out of the dean's office. And he says that if you don't come back next semester, you lose all your credits." And I was like, that's not true. I confirmed that before I got out of school. And he goes, "I just got out of his office." And that's what he said. And so I was like, I told my wife, I said, "Well, you know, we were doing really well. We were making, you know, five figures a month in income when we were down in California." So I told my wife, I go, "Listen," I told her what my brother said, "and we got to go back to chiropractic school." And she started crying and didn't want to go back to that crazy schedule. So I went back to chiropractic school and ended up graduating and finishing up my internship and all that. It was cool because my brother Mike had already graduated, so as a doctor, he got to be on stage, and he actually gave me my diploma. So it was a pretty cool experience. And I remember I was telling this story out in the parking lot to some people about how I got back into chiropractic school, and my brother Mike was listening to that, and he was like, "Oh, you know, you wouldn't have lost your credits. I actually was just lying to you." So he lied to me to get me back into chiropractic school. But you know what? I'm kind of glad he did. I mean, if he would have told me right after I moved, I probably would have punched him in the face. But he didn't tell me until after I graduated, so I really appreciated the fact that I was able to get back. Because, I mean, you know, when you have experienced time and financial freedom and you've got, you know, an incredible income that's coming in, and, you know, you just don't have a schedule. I mean, life is, you just live life to do whatever you want to do. It gets really exciting. It gets great. And to go back to that crazy schedule, you know, having a boss, a staff doctor that's telling you what to do and you know, and you know, getting on to you about your mistakes and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, do I need to remind you I make more money than you? I'm just kidding. But anyways, it gets tough, you know. And so we, anyways, I couldn't get through that fast enough. And then I did, as soon as I did. Then we moved back up to Utah and worked with the associate up here again and went back to California and ended up in Colorado. So that's kind of a quick rundown of the things that we did. But it was amazing to be able to grow this business. And I can tell you, I mean, for those of you maybe a little familiar with our story, it wasn't always great. I mean, there was challenges where we'd go up and we'd, the income would go up, the income would go down a little bit. But it was always an amazing lifestyle. And I remember one of the first challenges that we faced in our business was there was a guy, and I'm sure Mr. Hall remember this guy, but who was a fast art trainer up here in Utah. And he had had a lot of network marketing experience, and he built a fairly successful business in prepaid legal and then became a complete snake in the grass. So when he had his fast art training classes, he would train them, identify the sharpest people in the class, and then cross recruit them into another network marketing deal. And he had taken a director out of my business and a director out of my brother Chris's business. And back then, to be executive director, you needed to have 3 director legs with a total of 25 memberships coming out of each organization. They had to come out of those organizations. You couldn't do any personal to make up that. And you remember that? So if you had a director leg that is gone out of your business, you just lost 1/3 of your business. And so we went back to directors from being bronzes, having great income, to back to directors making no money. And that's not a good place to be. And so some people would have just quit and thrown in the towel and said, oh, this sucks for me, you know, and just go get a job and be mediocre. And I remember when we were going through the thick of it, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, she was saying how, you know, maybe we should just, you know, go back to chiropractic, just finish that up. And I looked at my wife and I said, honey, I go, listen, let me be rich or let me be poor, but please don't let me be mediocre. I don't want to be mediocre, you know. So we went through these challenges in the business and we rebuilt. We just got busy. And we rebuilt that organization, built another director organization, and was able to requalify again for executive director. Those things are going to happen to you too, and you got to know that there's always going to be challenges that you'll face. But as you get through those challenges, what does it do for you? What does it do for you? It builds character. What? Makes you stronger. You know, it does. It really does make you stronger when you can figure out how to get through those difficult situations. I really feel like that's what life's all about, is to learn from those challenges and continue to build through those challenges and get through them on the other side. I remember when we were sitting on the curb outside of our apartment complex, and me and my brother Chris were sitting down on the curb, and we were just both going through such hard times. We had the 3 days or pay or quit, and, you know, get out of your apartment complex notice on our car, on our door, and the repo man just came and took our car, and we're just sitting there crying. You know, it's like, this sucks. You know, what are we going to do, and how are we going to get back to executive director? But one thing that kept coming back to our minds was in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, and several times he had quoted, in every adversity, there's an equal or greater blessing or benefit on the other side. So as we're sitting there on that curb, we're thinking, dude, as bad as this is, all I know is when we get through this, it's going to get really good. It's got to get good because this was not good. And so that kind of pulled us through and motivated us to keep going. But on the other side of the business, you know, you get through those challenges. There's nothing like having time and financial freedom. There's nothing like being able to be involved in the kids' lives and to be able to, you know, like my daughter, she's 10, and where is she? She's over there in the pink. She's the blonde in the pink over there. And, you know, she, when she, you know, at home, I'm just Dad, whatever, Dad, you know. And but when I go to school and have lunch with her, I'm the coolest. And I sit down with her. She's still 10. Yeah, she's still 10.
That ain't cool in junior high.
Yeah, no, no. So, but I'll go there and sit down with her friends and get to know her friends, you know, and to be able to have lunch, you know, have the freedom to go to lunch, you know, with my kids and anytime I want and get to know who her friends are, who she's choosing to hang out with and build relationships with her friends. You know, it's just awesome, you know, to be able to travel and accomplish dreams and to have the freedoms to do the things that you really want to do. That's what this business can afford. And had I been still in practice, you know, I have no doubts that both me and my twin brother as chiropractors would have a great clinic and a great practice, and we'd have a great income, but we wouldn't have the lifestyle we enjoy today. And that's what this business can give each and every one of us. So with that said, I'll go ahead and open it up and to some question and answers. What I want to challenge you to do as you think about these questions is ask the questions that are going to make a difference in your business. You know, I like to dig into the minds of the leadership and to find out where they came from and how the business evolved. And not, you know, you can ask this question if you want, but I always found it interesting to see how, you know, who makes a leader. Did they just run over a bike?
Scooter.
They're trying to sell
scooter.
Outside, not a $4.
Then they come over again.
Yeah. They're mad.
Oh. You know what?
They can afford to buy another
one. At least there was no kid on it.
Right.
Yeah. If they go over it again, we got five.
That's their daughter.
Wow.
All right, I got it. Well, not really a question, more of a request. Today we have the system in place, the consistency in place. And I see a new person can just sign up. And if they'll just show up to the briefings, the trainings, and listen to the power trainings, the system rebuilds itself. And then it's just up to them to follow the consistency. And I don't think most people realize how damaging it is to not know what the system is and to take your team, pack them in a short yellow bus and drive them right off a cliff because you did something you shouldn't do. And that was our experience early on in prepaid legal, is we thought we knew how to do prepaid legal better than the system, because the system had, there was no training, there was no briefing stuff. So maybe you could share with everybody what Freedom Marketing is and how you got into Freedom Marketing.
Yeah. Well, let's just say we made every mistake there is in the book. I mean, I'll sum that up pretty quickly, but, you know, we thought we had it figured out. And how many of you have, you know, heard of the college kids here and where they go out knocking door to door selling pest control and satellites and things like that? And so we got the brilliant idea to start a prepaid legal door-to-door summer sales program, and it was called Freedom Marketing. And we
were the first Team Freedom.
Yeah, that's right. So we had put together a marketing plan, and we ran the numbers, and we were gonna make like $80,000 a month, easy. I mean, to start. And we were so excited about this. So we had recruited 120 people in like 3 months. And we had a training school, and we taught them professional sales. I mean, how to overcome objections, how to resolve concerns, how to close in every different way. And then we shipped them all to California. And took them to California in these big old buses or caravans. And And then we were going to go knock doors in Southern California and sell prepaid legal to all of them. And I think I ended up going about $40,000 in debt in the first month? Literally. I mean, we had put housing together. We had leases in our names. And it's okay, though, because we were going to make like $80,000 a month, you know, so it was okay to put that risk up. It was one of the stupidest things we ever did. But I will tell you, it was stupid, but we learned a lot. A lot. And, you know, some people, very close to one, friends of ours, and even people in our upline would rag us out, make fun of us so bad for doing something so dumb. They egged us on. They were cheering us on when we put the plan together, but once it failed miserably, they're like, oh, you guys are morons, you know? But you know what? I wouldn't want to erase that. You know, that built me, it made me who I am, and we learned from that. And we literally had to start over. We started our business over because we told them that was the way we were all going to make millions, and they bought into it, and we literally crushed everything. I will say that there was only like three people who stayed the course, and all three of them became executive directors. But they didn't stay the course knocking doors. They stayed the course doing it the right way. And let me mention one more thing. You know, like before that, we'd go to Fast Start training class, and they're like, listen, here's how you do this business. You make two exposures a day. You plug into your live events and things like that. And we were thinking, man, there's got to be a better, faster way, you know. And so we decided that we were driving down the road, and we see these signs on the side of the road. It says, hey, you know, work from home, CEO income, make $5,000 a day. Ours was like, get paid daily, and then we had our phone number. And so we're like, well, it's working for them. Let's put these up. So we put these signs all over the place, and we would teach our team. So I remember one of my associates, brand spanking new, he signs up that night at the business briefing, and he's over there at the tool table looking at what tools he needs to buy to help start his business. And I was like, listen, you don't need any of this. Follow me. And so I walk out the door, go to my car, and I pop open my trunk, and I'm looking around, you know, make sure the coast is clear, and I give him a whole bunch of these signs. And I say, here, take these signs, go plaster them all over Dallas-Fort Worth, all over the major intersections. You want to go out late at night, though, so there's not as much traffic, a.k.a. cops, and just post it up all over the place. Well, the next morning, he calls me up, and he says, Dr. Hughes, I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do right now. I was like, whoa, what's going on? He goes, I got to play you this voicemail. So he plays a voicemail on three-way, and it says, this is Officer So-and-So of the Fort Worth Police Department. You're in violation code of blah, blah, blah. And it was like, you've been putting these signs up over town, and you know, it's like $1,000 a fine or whatever it was. I mean, he says, we need you to call us right away. And so he hangs up the phone, and he goes, what do I do? I was like, delete it. Don't call him back. And he quit. That was the last time I saw him. That doesn't duplicate very well, if you want to know. So we certainly made our mistakes and challenges, but there is a system that is in place, as Mr. Hall talked about, that works, that duplicates. And we had learned it, but we didn't believe it, I think. And so we tried to reinvent the wheel. I'm telling you, the system's in place more than it's ever been in place. I mean, we've got stellar trainings, briefings, more briefings all over the place. I remember the first briefing in Salt Lake. It was a guy that showed up with boots on and cow crap on his boots and a stained polo T-shirt. And,
Larry.
Yeah, Larry. Larry McKitcher, that's right. And, you know, that was our professional speaker, you know, I think he made more money in chargebacks than he did in cash, but that's what we had to plug into. I mean, it was tiny. It was amazing to see that. But, you know, today we have all these incredible events to build into and to support us all across the United States. So we have a system in place, and I want to challenge you to follow that system. Believe in the system because it works, and that's the greatest way to duplicate. So go ahead. You had a question?
Oh, I think you probably answered it for us. You know, I mean, just
your job, but you know why? If you have to pinpoint one thing, it just doesn't work some other way, right?
I mean, I think there's lots of ways to work prepaid legal, but there's not lots of ways to duplicate. You know, some things may be effective, some things may be more effective than others. But let me give you an example. You could have somebody with really good communication skills, really good at sales, and they could sit down with somebody and they can sign up people silly. You know, they'll just resolve the concerns, and we'll sign them up. You know, $149, that's no concern. I'll take that concern and shove it in your face and make you wish you never said it. You know, and then they sign up. But how well does that duplicate? It doesn't duplicate at all. So you may be effective in signing people up, but you're not going to be effective at duplicating an organization. So there's lots of different ways to work prepaid legal, but there's one way that works, and that's the system. Yeah. What other questions? Go ahead.
Do you like to lead with more effective leading with membership or leading with...
I've almost always led with the opportunity and instead of the membership. I mean, there'll be certain situations where I'll lead with the membership. I mean, if I know somebody can benefit from the service, then I'm certainly going to, you know, talk about that and lead in with that. But usually I lead in with the opportunity to work with prepaid legal. And the reason why I do that, I mean, a couple of reasons. I find that it's easier to help people make money than it is to spend money. You know, and if they see value in the membership, obviously it's not spending money, but just in generally in that concept, that's what we're doing. You know, we're getting them to buy something which is taking away their money, or helping them find something to build more money. And so I think, in my opinion, I think most people are looking to make extra income. You know, what we want to be careful about is just, you know, coming across as a way of business that they don't want to participate in, you know. And so I was talking to my new associate out in Washington, and she was like, you know, I'm just hitting people up with the membership right now because, you know, some of these people don't have a lot of extra money, and so if they have a hard time with the membership, then they're certainly going to have a hard time with the $149. Well, when it comes to both, that's what it comes down to is value. If they see value in the membership, then, you know, $35.95 a month is nothing if the value is there. And same thing with the business. You know, if the business has got the value there, then $149 is nothing if they can make a lot more than that. So, but yeah, I lead in with the opportunity to make money. Yeah. And I think you get what you're focused on. You know, if you want to sell a lot of memberships, that's what you'll get. And, I had one more story. I had a lady come up to me, and this was a while back, and you know, business was booming, and for me. But it was interesting because she came up and she says, "You know, I just don't want to recruit. You know, I just see so much value in the membership. I want to tell everybody about it." And I said, "I go, you know what? That's interesting because that's actually why I do recruit." She goes, "What do you mean by that?" And I said, "Well, how many memberships did you market this month?" She goes, "About 25 memberships." And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty good." And I go, "Well, but, you know, I marketed 2,500. So she protected 25 families. I protected 2,500 families. And so, you know, if you really want to protect the families with the service, if you really believe in the service and you want to protect as many families, it's really an unfair advantage when you have an organization because you're not just doing it by yourself. Yeah. Question. Yeah. Come.
Oh yeah. Have you building a team kind of called you more than spreading out some of your time in a small business?
I've done probably less than 5 groups in 11 years. Yeah. So and I'm not the question. I'm not the one to ask for advice on group. So I just, you know, that's not where I put my focus. And really, the only reason why I did those 5 groups is because they fell in my lap. So, yeah, small business. I'll market a small business plan from time to time, but that's not my focus either. Yeah. So, Most of my focus is on the team building, recruiting, duplicating training, those kind of things.
So, Dr. Hughes, on your run for the ring, what did you find, I mean, inside the system, what did you find was your highest income-producing activity? I mean, if you're looking to make $400 a day, where was your activity focused on? Sit-downs or personal recruits or more, you know, few yards of the team? I mean, where did you find your highest income-producing activity?
Well, I was driving through the organization because, I mean, my personal activity is not going to get me the ring. You know, I mean, especially if you're not doing small business or group. I mean, if you're the little amount that I do, you know, like I have an organization that's done well over 100,000 memberships. I haven't even done 1,000. They gave me the Golden Apple Award in convention, but I haven't even done 1,000 yet. So I've done like 937 or something like that. And so, you know, what I do is not going to make that big of a difference. It's important to lead by example and be consistent and continue to find new people to grow your organization. So you should always be in phase one activity, personally. But, yeah, most of it was just driving through the existing organization I had. I had a great organization. I just needed to get them to continue to grow and duplicate. And so we would drive the individual sit-downs and duplicate the sit-downs. We would drive private business receptions as much as possible. And, right before I got my six-figure ring, I was down in Southern California. I was solid silver executive director at the time. And my brother Mike had just walked away from practicing chiropractic to go full-time in prepaid legal. And so we were building very aggressively and to help get him back to executive director, because he used to be years ago before he went full-time in chiropractic. And so we just started recruiting like crazy. And so as we started focusing on that team and building our organization, I remember when we had made the goal of getting him back to executive director and had a date in mind of when he was going to hit executive director, we had 12 guests at our Super Saturday in Southern California between him and I. And all of them signed up. We were at a big round table after the Super Saturday is over, and we signed up every single one of those guests. And that was just a huge, I mean, that catapulted his business. And so we got them duplicating as well. Got him to executive director, and it was like a couple months later I'd gotten the six-figure ring. So I was a gold executive director at that time, doing about 200, 250 memberships a month.
That was the page you're at when you got the ring?
Yep. And I think that's pretty average, you know, when somebody gets the ring, somewhere around 200, 300 memberships a month.
Personally or team?
Oh, team. No, team.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
Yeah. What other questions?
I was just kind of curious, you know, when you're, I know especially, it seems like all the Hughes brothers kind of keep driving down in depth and building strong organizations that are deep. I was kind of curious on average, well, I know Mr. Hall's pretty close to you, but how far down do you think you know, when you hit platinum and things like that, your executive that kind of holds those lines, how far down on average do you think you go when you found them?
Let me say a few things before I answer that question. Everyone's business is totally different. And so it's you're going to have... You know, you're going to recruit, you know, you're going to recruit links and leaders. You know, you'll recruit some leaders that just take off and do really well, and you'll recruit links that will lead you to a leader. And so sometimes you'll have a link, there's your leader, and then now you've got this massive organization growing. You know, some people's business may be down several levels deep, and that wasn't the case for, all my brothers. So with all my brothers, and well, I'll speak for myself, Dave Hall is two levels deep in my organization. There's a, my brother Mike is frontline to me. The newest executive director on my team in Colorado is frontline to me. the Jacob Meffer's two levels deep underneath me, and Pablo and Christina Felix are about 12 levels deep. And so that's most of the people, most of my executive directors came because of my efforts and what I did. But Pablo and Christina is the exception. You know, Pablo and Christina, I mean, they came on board. There was this, it was interesting because it came through a series of PBRs and years later. So there was a guy that I went to church with down in Southern California. He had a private business reception. He had seven guys showed up. Six of them signed up that night. There was a sense of urgency. There was a big promotion to go director. And so we told them about it that night. And so they went out over the weekend and went out and signed up all these people through their own private business receptions. And three of them became directors over the weekend. So, I mean, there was a lot of activity. But one of the people that was recruited over that weekend was this guy, another guy that I went to church with, and then he recruited his neighbor. His neighbor recruited a good friend down in San Diego, and this was this older lady that was really diligent. She was skeptical as all get out. She was almost rude and cynical. In the training, she'd sit in the front row and she'd take notes, but she'd look up at you and just like have this frowny face on, like, what are you talking about, you know? And then she'll like, I remember one training, she raised her hand, she was like, excuse me? She was like, I figured something out about you. You're a broken record. And I mean that in a good way, but you're a broken record. You know, I was like, good, I'm glad you figured me out, you know? But anyway, she was very consistent. So eventually she softened up a little bit and realized this young little kid, you know, me, could teach her something if she listened. And so she started to have success and growing. She plugged into every training. I remember her calling me up one time and she goes, hey, there's this older lady that lives in Tucson, Arizona, and she's like 75 years old and, you know, she wants to do this business, but she's old. I was like, what are you saying? She was like, well, should I recruit her? I'm like, does she want to do the business? She was like, well, yeah, she wants to do the business. I was like, well, recruit her. And so she recruits her. Well, her son was married to a deaf woman who knew Pablo Felix. And so he sat down, showed the video. He loved it, went to a briefing, got his questions answered, and today is the first deaf executive director in prepaid. So that's something. I didn't even know who the guy was until my brother Tony calls me up from Tucson and said, dude, you've got this deaf guy on your team who's tearing it up. And I was like, you know what? I've seen that guy's name before. You know, I was like, I just didn't know what's going on. And it was like, you've got to get to know this guy. Well, convention came up shortly after. He comes to convention and with the guy who recruited him, and it was funny because I'm like, hey, you know, hi, nice. He can't hear, you know, and I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. I didn't know any sign language at the time, and the guy who recruited him, he's kind of interpreting for us, and he go off and to run to the bathroom, and me and Pablo are standing there like. Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, I just, I mean, what do you say, you know? So, anyways, but yeah, I mean, it's, so that's the only person in my organization that just happened, you know? I didn't even know who they were, it just happened. And I think if you stay there, well, here's what's interesting, is that lady that recruited the older lady down in San Diego, she it's so interesting because she kept calling me, and this is years in the business. She had been years in the business. She kept calling me. She was like, if this doesn't start working for me, I'm gonna have to go out and get a job. You know, if this doesn't start working for me, if it doesn't work by the end of the year, I'm just gonna have to go out and get a job. I just don't know if I can keep doing this. And I kept telling her, I was like, stop threatening your business. That's all you're doing. You're putting deadlines on when it's going to happen. You have no idea when it's going to happen. You just need to stay the course and enjoy the journey. And she was like, well, but I'm running out of money in my savings, and I just don't know about this. And she was like a top, she was a chief level in a huge IT company. like Qualcomm or something like that. She was the IT CIO. I mean, so she was very successful, but she had retired, and so she had her savings and stuff, and she had an incredible lifestyle that she was retired off of. And but she kept threatening her business, and I kept telling her, "Stop it, stop it." I was like, "It's going to happen." Well, as soon as she quit, now she hadn't dropped; she's still active associate today. But as soon as she quit working the business and stopped going to events, two of her lines exploded with Pablo Felix in one, and another guy in another, with doing over 100 memberships a month. And but still, she had no interest in building that third leg. And because she just thought, I've seen these things come, it'll all fall apart anyways. And I'm just thinking, you know what? It's crazy. But then Pablo Felix now has all these other executive directors in the organization, and she knows it, but she doesn't care to take advantage of it. How many of y'all would like to have a 4 executive directors in your organization, right? So, but other questions? Biggest sacrifice I did? To continue growing the business? Man, I don't know what the biggest would be, but I certainly made lots of sacrifices. You know, there was times that I would have be less involved in my kids' lives because I was working prepaid legal, but I never looked at that as a sacrifice because I was still involved in my kids' lives, if that makes sense. You know, it's not like I neglected my family. I always felt like it was important to have harmony in the family, even though you may be spending a lot of time building your business and in chiropractic school and things like that, or maybe with your full-time job. Some people always say, hey, you know, it's important to have balance. And I don't think it's, you know, balance, it's different to have balance and harmony. Like if you look at a lake that's stagnant, a balanced lake becomes stagnant and nasty. But a lake that's in harmony, that flows, you know, flows through, that's a lake that's, you know, fresh and can grow. And so I felt like to have harmony in the family was important. So I never felt like my family sacrificed, but I'll tell you some sacrifices, and I can't say that they're the biggest because they're not. But, you know, I sacrificed fishing. I love to go fishing. But when I used to live in Utah, down on, right off the Provo River, I'd go out there and go fishing every single day. I mean, I loved it. But when I started building prepaid legal, that was something I gave up. I never went fishing. I didn't go fishing. I never fished once until I got my 6-figure ring in prepaid legal. I gave up television. My wife and I decided it was a distraction in our life. It was not providing any value, and so we literally did not have cable. Our cable was not attached to the television. We'd watch Disney shows with the kids from time to time, but we didn't have television hooked up, and so we didn't watch that until we got our 6-figure ring. And those were sacrifices that we made. But I didn't feel like it was really a sacrifice, you know. I mean, to turn off the television, I'm telling you, if you ever make that sacrifice, if you want to call it that, you'll find that it's not a sacrifice. It is one of the greatest blessings you'll ever do. You know, because there is so much more time in your life when you can get that out of your life and focus on the things that really matter. So, so there's, you know, we made sacrifices, I think, financially, you know, putting money back into the business to try and grow the business. And, you know, my wife tells a story about how we were really struggling financially, and I had spent some money on some marketing tools, on DVDs and stuff. And I came home, and my wife was ticked because she was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwich just to be able to put food on the table for our children. And, you know, so sometimes there were sacrifices in that way as well. But I never looked at it as this negative thing. You know, it was never a negative thing. I mean, we had to find how we could make it work, but it was never really a negative thing. Let me relate this to chiropractic school. You know, when I went to chiropractic school, I had been married 1 week prior to me starting chiropractic school. And when I went to my orientation, they said, how many of you are not married? And, or how many of you are married? And a few people raised their hands, and he said, and then he said, if you're not married, he goes, don't get married because you'll just end up divorced anyways. and just because it's such a grueling schedule, because so many people would get divorced, and I was like, great, I'm engaged. But I saw some great couples that their marriage didn't make it as we went through chiropractic school. And I don't know exactly what was going on in each one of those marriages, but I know in our marriage, that was a commitment and a decision that we decided together, that we were going to go through chiropractic school. So as tough as it got, the chiropractic school I went to was Parker Chiropractic, and so all the women would hang out together when they never saw their husbands, and they called themselves the Parker Wives, and that was their support group. So I relate that because the same thing, you'll have those kind of challenges in prepaid legal. When you have a spouse like that or a significant other, it's important to make sure that you're both in it together, at least in the commitment and the support and the ultimate goal on what you want to get. So those are things that we went through, when building.
Jump in here. It's getting a little bit chilly and the sun's going down, and we need to get the place cleaned up. But we've had an opportunity to get stuff that, this stuff ain't going to be late tomorrow. So you guys got a chance to hear some stories behind the stories and hang out with Dr. Hughes and build memories and create an opportunity where, you can put a name with a face and recognize you. And as you show up at our team event down in Arizona, it's like, hey, people from Utah, team. And so anytime you get a chance to be at an event, hang out with the out-of-town guests, take that opportunity to do that. We're going to wrap things up now. We can use some help cleaning up the table, hauling stuff, go back over to the house in the garage and hang around for a couple minutes and help out with that. And then, are you at all interested in going to a movie tonight?
Yeah, I'd love to. It'd be fun.
I don't know if anybody else is interested. There's a movie, I'd like to see it, and I think you'd probably like to see it. It's not going to be showing in Colorado, but it's been getting really good reviews here. It's called 17 Miracles. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but I've read it.
We actually have a preview.